Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does God want to divide families? So many families are divided today over politics, over religion. Christians like to talk about unity, but didn't Jesus actually preach the opposite? Didn't he tell them to be divisive? Didn't he say, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Well, yes, my friend, Jesus did say this, but he said many other things as well, including saying to Peter, "Put down the sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword," right in the middle of being arrested. Look, in context being defined as all of Jesus's teaching in the New Testament, it becomes quite clear that he was merely pointing out what will happen when his followers are faithful, taking stands for what they believe and sharing the gospel. That message of forgiveness, which people like, they like the forgiveness part, but it's also a message of repentance, which people like, well, not so much. Yes, the message is one of forgiveness from sin, but people don't like hearing about sin. In time, it became crystal clear that what Jesus meant was families of Christians would turn against them. He is not commanding Christians to turn from their families. I became a Christian in college. My father disowned me for becoming a Christian. But I got to tell you, I've also seen it work the other way. I have many dear friends whose college-age children are calling them racists simply because they accept the Bible. Even though the Bible condemned both slavery and racism ahead of its time, I've done entire programs on that subject, how the Bible gets taken out of context. Not our topic today, but you can still listen to the back shows and podcasts. They are available. Anyway, the division of families is a prediction of Jesus, a sad prediction. And while Jesus predicted this 2,000 years ago from a country across the globe, it's always especially sad to see it happening in our own country. It's sad to see it happening in America, not just regarding Christianity, but the viewpoints of other morals, other politics. This division has been going on for many, many decades as our once Judeo-Christian society began to morph into a secular humanist society. That has been so ongoing, people have unfortunately gotten used to it like comfortable old leather. But these past 2 years, humanism is fast tracking into socialism, and socialism is fast tracking into Marxism. The indoctrination is going on everywhere. It began on the college campus. Now, to be fair, it's common in any generation for college students to think they know everything. I did that when I was in college. I don't know nearly as much now as I thought I knew when I was a lot younger. So yes, some of that is just a part of life, just a part of growing up. And frankly, to any of you college students listening out there, I take less issue with you and far more issue with those who have been teaching you. It has been nothing short of brainwashing. I know you don't believe that, but that's what it's been. However, let's stop for a moment. Let's back up. Take a deep breath. I do that once in a while on this show. I really do. I take a deep breath. My friends, my dearest friends, I find it so sad that families are being driven apart, whether for religious beliefs or political beliefs. Some can't sit at the same table on Thanksgiving. Romantic relationships and marriages break up because one of them voted for Trump, or one of them didn't vote for Trump, or because one of them has a different view of the border security, or a different view of America, period. This is a tragedy. Can't people of good conscience disagree in an agreeable way? I am very strongly opinionated. I'll bet you might have noticed that by now. Yes, I am strongly opinionated. But it's not just opinion. I also share things which are not opinion. They're not opinion to me. I've done my research. I know the facts. I share the truth. The Bible, for example, the Bible is the truth. The Bible is factually accurate. Now, of course, many are listening right now and saying, "I see off his rocker. The Bible, that book of fairy tales." I know, I get it. You don't agree. You don't have to. You don't have to agree. Nobody's making you. At the moment, our opinions and expressions about religion or lack thereof are protected by our First Amendment, and even beyond that. Never, ever have I told somebody I cannot be their friend if they don't agree with the Bible, or I cannot be their friend if they don't agree with my political ideologies or vote for the person I voted for. And of course, never would I disown a member of my own family over it. I have a daughter and a son. They have children of their own now. Back when they were in middle school, when I finally felt they were old enough to understand why there was one set of grandparents they never saw, I made it clear that would never happen to them. It was so important. They heard what happened to me. I had to make it clear it would not happen to them. I said, I will always be your dad. I will always love you. If you ever stopped practicing Christianity, I would be very concerned. I would be very saddened. I'd probably be heartbroken, but it will never make a difference to our love. You will always be my children, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think. At the same time, my friends, we cannot allow the price for getting along to be the sacrifice of our convictions. I can love a person without condoning their lifestyle. I can accept a person without accepting their narrative, even if it's a popular narrative. And in that vein, I am going to call out ideas. Oh, how I'll call out ideas. Because ideas, albeit innocently held by so many, can be destructive. Returning now to what students are being taught, some students, and this was only a matter of time, right? Some students, in responding to pollsters, are starting to say we should abolish our Constitution. Why? Well, it's outdated. You're going to guess the next one. It's written by just a bunch of white men who held slaves. Now, that's not true. Once again, many of those same Constitution architects vehemently condemned slavery. But all right, however you want to slice it, here's the irony. Those who publicly claim right on television that they want to abolish the Constitution are able to do so only because they live under the First Amendment protection of our Constitution, the protection of free speech. In how many countries around the world would people be executed for saying anything critical about their country's government, anything at all? My friends, be careful what you wish for. The Marxist movement trying to overthrow our country is using the protections of the Constitution to gain complete power. If they do, God help us, but if they do, once they do, they will shred the very Constitution which they took advantage of. That will be the first thing they do. Mark my words. All right, maybe it'll be the second thing they do. They'll probably throw a big party and celebrate first. In the meantime, while it's still legal, while we still have time, I will continue to speak out with respectful dialogue and an actual conversation, but also candid outrage when challenging ideas themselves, with anger, with satire, sometimes with a little of both. And in that vein, yes, it's time now for our Joe Biden update. Here's a quotable that's been going around, Joe Biden talking. He said this in a speech. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated workers. Joe, if they're already vaccinated, then you see, Joe, the whole purpose of a vaccine is, never mind, Joe. Of course, with Joe, you never know how serious he was or how much of a gaffe he was. I know this, his handlers, those pulling his puppet strings, they're very serious. And I'll tell you who's especially serious, even though she's technically not part of the Biden administration, former head of Planned Parenthood and CNN contributor, Dr. Liana Wen. Here's what she said. Get a load of this. I think we need to make it clear that there are privileges associated with being an American. If you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right, as far as I know, to board a plane. If you want to stay unvaccinated, that's your choice. But if you want to travel, you better go get vaccinated. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Translation. Sure, you have a choice. We're all about choice. You have a choice after we choose the choices you have. Dr. Wen, let me see, how shall I put this? The whole definition of American privilege is the privilege to live under the freedoms protected by our country's constitution. That freedom includes, by definition, genuine choice, unless we're breaking the law by robbing a bank or committing homicide. Of course, many are viewing this refusal to take the vaccine as a homicide. They're calling it a homicide because of the so-called danger it presents. A lot of people have been calling for the unvaccinated to be kept out of restaurants, kept out of cafes, concerts, music halls. Oh, wait. Sorry. Wrong list. I was reading from the wrong list. That was a list of places the Nazis would not allow the Jews to go. Easy mistake. It does look kind of familiar, doesn't it? Yes, my friends, the age-old trick to eliminate freedom through scapegoating. Make it them against us, instill fear, and you can get the remainder of your numb, docile population to do anything, including, as time goes on, as we saw with the Jews, as we saw with the Germans, including murdering those scapegoats. Once the government has convinced people that you're dangerous, they can do anything. They will do everything. Turning now from the entirety of the United States to but just one of those humble states, California, home of Sacramento, and not just Sacramento, Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood. Yes, it's time for another episode of Movies We'd Like to See with your old pal Bob. Imagination time. Imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger as Jesus. Yes, you heard me correctly. Arnold Schwarzenegger playing the part of Jesus in a movie about the second coming of Christ. Somewhere in the movie, Jesus, played by Arnold, promising to return to his disciples, says, "I'll be back." All right, I guess this election recall regarding California governors has made my mind wander a little bit. Would that the real Jesus became our governor. But hey, who needs a governor when you can have a king? Yes, now it's time for our King Newsom update. In a tweet highlighting points from his acceptance speech, King Newsom, his royal majesty, King Newsom said, and I quote, "Tonight, California voted no on the recall and yes to science, women's rights, immigration rights, the minimum wage, the environment, our future." Well, actually, what the people voted for, and let's be clear, we still don't really know who voted for what. But assuming for a moment that the people voted to keep this guy around, the people did this, well, then what they voted for was dangerous prisoners released, homeless defecating on the streets in front of businesses, police defunded, being able to openly shoplift $999 right off of shelves in stores, the ruling tyranny of unconstitutional executive orders. Do you need a reminder? Do you need an I told you so? Newsom admitted shamelessly early on in 2020 that he was going to use the COVID crisis to enact an agenda. He did it right while he was talking to the press. And his agenda is socialist, down to the last inch, down to the last pound. We'll be bringing on Ruth Wise from Election Integrity Project. She'll talk about how much fraud took place in last week's election. Let me briefly share my own take. When I first saw the election results, I said on my podcast that my problem was the wide margin for Newsom. Yes, of course, we are living in California. A lot of people would have voted that guy back in, believing his lies. A lot of them would. But the momentum of the recall movement, not just from Republicans, but independents, Democrats, and the many stories I was hearing election day about people showing up to vote and being told they had already voted, I came to the conclusion that at the very least, Newsom did not win by a resounding victory. It wasn't a landslide. At the very least, this had to be much closer. Yes, they obviously cheated. Maybe he still would have won, but it would have been a lot closer. However, since that time, far more information has come out. I believe this was stolen, stolen brazenly, stolen shamelessly. Why not? It worked before. Our spineless courts wouldn't even hear the cases, wouldn't even hear the lawsuits. So why wouldn't the left be emboldened to try again? This seems to be the way of the future, my friends. Elections in name only. Single party rule. Those of you who have been living here in America for many years understand full well what's at stake. Those of you who grew up under Marxist dictatorships in other countries know what you left behind, and you see it starting all over again. So what can be done? Well, here's something. Here's something to think about. Because life does have its twists and turns, and those twists, those turns are still in your memories. Memories. Let God speak to you by reflecting on what he already taught you during the bad times, what he already taught you during the good times, during the wonderful times, during all the times of your life.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.